Thursday of this week, I wondered if I should do a message on the coronavirus. It's a rather relevant topic, don't you think? Friday morning, about 4:30 a.m., I thought on it some more and decided to do that. Maybe the Lord can get our attention through this virus, maybe the attention of some. When the Twin Towers went down some years ago, for a week or two, you know, churches were overfilled, and then everything went back to usual. Yet in such times, the Lord is sometimes able to get the attention of some. We are in great need of a spiritual awakening in the world. We are in a huge need of revival in the church. And yet in such times, the Lord sometimes can get our attention, and may He do so. Billions of people need to consider objectively and honestly what is life all about. As long as nothing out of the normal occurs, we seem to think all is well. Today there is fear all over the world. There come moments in life when all of a sudden we realize that things could easily happen that man cannot handle. By the way, President Trump has called on today as a day of prayer. And I'm encouraged with that. What that does, it says we can't do it ourselves. We need you, Lord. But rest assured, God created everything and He knows what is going on. Well, before I began my studies, I caught up with the news and I read David Clough's update in the Friday Church News. He writes, "The global panic surrounding the coronavirus outbreak is breathtaking in its overreaction. Two nations quarantined, major events canceled in areas where there is no coronavirus, airlines going bankrupt, hotels vacated, borders locked down, stock markets plummeting. One would think it is the bubonic plague, but it isn't. COVID-19, the virus at the heart of the global panic, is a coronavirus, which is a flu virus." Now, let me assure you that the Bible is true, and I can assure you that the coronavirus will not be the end of mankind. But I have read that some question whether the Bible has anything to say about the coronavirus. The facts are that, yes, it does. Will it mean the end of mankind? Not at all. And you can rest assured in that. We will look at that, at some of that later. By the way, when you remember the Y2K scare? Yeah. Now, this may not be just a scare. Many people have died already, and many more may yet. So ask just what is coronavirus? Well, I'm not a physical doctor. I'm a spiritual doctor. So everything I say about the physical aspect of this virus, I have learned from reading about it, and it may or may not be accurate. Here's what an article on the internet said on coronavirus. A coronavirus is a kind of common virus that causes an infection in your nose, sinuses, or upper throat. Most coronaviruses aren't dangerous. What is coronavirus? Coronaviruses were first identified in the 1960s, but we don't know where they come from. They get their name from their crown-like shape. Sometimes, but not often, a coronavirus can infect both animals and humans. Most coronaviruses spread the same way other cold-causing viruses do, through infected people coughing and sneezing, by touching an infected person's hands or face, or by touching things such as doorknobs that infected people have touched. Almost everyone gets a coronavirus infection at least once in their lifetime, most likely as a young child. In the United States, coronaviruses are more common in the fall and winter, but anyone can come down with a coronavirus infection at any time, end quote. Of the COVID-19 coronavirus, the article said COVID-19 in early 2020, after a December 2019 outbreak in China, the World Health Organization identified a new type, 2019 novel coronavirus, which can be fatal. The organization named the virus a severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus 2 and named the disease it caused COVID-19. The outbreak quickly moved from China around the world. Symptoms of COVID-19 include fever, cough, and shortness of breath. Now, though I know next to nothing about doctoring, I do know when to take my high blood pressure pills and so on. I have spent most of my life doctoring spiritually. Let me say this. There are two large areas of truth. They are physical and spiritual. Physical doctors work in the physical realm, but by far the majority of them know less about spiritual truth than I know about the physical realm. It is not that I am smart or wise. It is because I know God, the God of the universe, the creator of mankind. I know him, and I have studied spiritual truth for close to 40 years. But as a spiritual doctor, there is a virus more deadly than the coronavirus. I will call it the sinovirus. Sin is man's greatest problem. No virus, no catastrophe, nothing takes as many lives as the sinovirus. It is 100% fatal, and we all have it. What we all need to realize is that we will all die, with exception of those who are caught up with Christ when he comes for the church, and even those, their bodies must be changed. Sin is man's major problem. In the newsletter I mentioned by David Cloud, he has another article with this title, Gay Christianity Movement Invades Mennonite Churches. Well, he's been working in Mennonite churches for over 20 years. He writes the following is excerpted from Reformation Charlotte, March 4th, 2020. Posture Shift is a gay Christianity conference held by a ministry called Lead Them Home that seeks to change how the church views homosexuality and pushes for full inclusivity of gays, lesbians, and other sexually confused individuals such as transgenders. He is talking about Mennonites. I am a Mennonite. I am not surprised to hear such things from those who call themselves Mennonites. Today, major denominations are changing. It is because of the sinovirus. For many years, Mennonites have been dabbling with sinful matters. The early Mennonites would be horrified, as I am, about the shifts taking place among those who call themselves Mennonites. It is shameful to the extreme. Where is the outcry against this? Even the church is falling under the onslaught of this sin. This is a sin pandemic today that should have the entire world in deep concern, far deeper than coronavirus. It is also a spiritually and physically deadly sin. Here's part of an article by LifeSiteNews.com. It says, Washington, D.C., June 6, 2005, a new study which analyzed tens of thousands of gay obituaries and compared them with AIDS deaths data from the Centers for Disease Control has shown that the life expectancy for homosexuals is about 20 years shorter than that of the general public. The study entitled Gay Obituaries Closely Track Officially Reported Deaths from AIDS has been published in Psychological Reports. End of quote. Now, some argue but if that is correct, that is only the physical. In the spiritual, it is a sin so horrible, God made a lesson out of Sodom and Gomorrah for the rest of mankind, for the rest of time. But where is the outcry? Our own Prime Minister is proud to walk in a gay pride parade. His wife is now infected with coronavirus. This is a concern. But sin? No concern. His wife won't likely die any younger because of the coronavirus, but thousands of people whose sinful lives he endorsed may die years prematurely. In our country, if you want to run for prime minister, it would take a miracle to be elected if you do not support this sinful pandemic. Where is the outcry? This is man, concerned about coronavirus and unconcerned about such sins as destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Before I leave this, let me say with no fear of contradiction that the majority of those who profess to believe the Bible are not Christians at all. That is the sin problem. Are you a professing believer? Then let me ask you, how do you live? Is sin your major concern, or is it coronavirus? Man's main problem is not coronavirus or anything else. It is sin. As one who works in the spiritual realm, that is abundantly clear to me. Now let me ask, where did the coronavirus come from? I read that the coronavirus may have been begun by a bat or a snake in China. Well, who knows? There are all kinds of stories. One article I read said, where did the coronavirus come from? It seems it started in Wuhan, China. One article said it potentially came from a bat, snake, or pangolin, end quote. Well, I do not know for certain where coronavirus came from, but I know for certain where sinovirus came from. The deadliest of all viruses, spiritually speaking, is sin. The Bible tells us where it originated. It was in the Garden of Eden. The Bible tells us how it began. It began by man disobeying God. And who or what induced man to sin? The real origin of this spiritual virus? Well, it was a snake. Or at least, it was one after this. And using that snake was Satan, the very first one who ever had sin a virus. Now, some may question this stuff about the Garden of Eden and sin and Adam and Eve. Some may question if the Bible is really the Word of God. It is. If some of our listeners may struggle with that, consider listening to our message on Sermon Audio /MECL called Is the Bible the Word of God? If coronavirus is a serious matter, it weighs as nothing in comparison to sin. Sin is 100% fatal. If you are listening to this message, be assured you will die from the sin of virus. It kills everybody. Nobody survives it. All one has to do is look around. Everybody dies. Everybody. We know that. But we're not concerned when life goes on as usual. Death, in a myriad of ways, is so commonplace to us we hardly give it a thought at all until something new comes along that we don't know about. When we get the news that our sickness only gives us a short time to live, all of a sudden, what was important is no longer important. What was not important all of a sudden becomes very important. Ambitions fade and thoughts change. And for many, fear sets in, just like it has for many because of coronavirus. And all the while we carry this deadly spiritual virus that nobody will escape, and we seldom give it a thought. There's something innate in us that says this life is not all there is. When death is at our doorstep, what becomes most important is what happens after death. And so man develops religions of his own making to calm his fears. What becomes of utmost importance when death is so near is the question, is there really life after death? Maybe some agnostic or atheist will listen to this message. If you are honest, you know you have a deadly malady. That is why you will die. Sin is the cause. It is 100% fatal. And you also know about guilt. And you have squelched those guilt feelings maybe for so long that their sound has grown dim by now. But sin and guilt are matters of the spiritual realm. It is a realm as real as the physical. Now, one can deny those feelings of guilt, and one may deny them until they grow very dim or even die. But maybe if you listen carefully, you will still hear their verdict, guilty, guilty, guilty. You can come free from that guilt. There is a cure. That is my work. We'll talk about it later. Now, the term coronavirus is a broad term. There are all kinds of coronaviruses. Sin is a broad term. There are all kinds of sins. If I mention a few, every listener will identify and say, if that is a sin, I am guilty. Let me list a few. Lying, stealing, cheating, fornication, adultery, and I could go on and on. These are all sinoviruses. And for any listener who is honest, when you ponder those, you know that they are wrong. Maybe the mention of those brings guilt to you. You know why that is? By guilt, God puts us into a kind of spiritual prison. Conviction sets in. It says, guilty, guilty, guilty. This is caused by sinovirus. If we do not heed that whistle, the siren eventually stops and we die and we go to hell. But the good news is there is a way to be set free from sin and guilt. There is a way to live clean. It is not by suppressing guilt. It is by confessing sin, dealing with the sinovirus. The problem with physical viruses is curing them. I read about this about viruses. Viral diseases are a big part of life. They can affect you greatly. So you ask, is it possible to cure a viral disease? Viral diseases can be difficult to treat. This happens because the viruses live inside the body's cells, where they are protected from medicine which is carried in the bloodstream. Though some viral diseases can be cured, these viral diseases can be cured using enzyme inhibitors. Some viral diseases cannot be cured regardless of treatment. The most famous example is the HIV virus. Regardless of using inhibitors on fourth or fifth stage of its reproductive cycle, the virus still kills its host with 100% efficiency. Well, I don't know about those things, but I know this. The sinovirus kills its host with 100% efficiency. Man cannot cure sin. You can look at how education and civilization has failed to bring peace to this world. Education and civilization have failed to feed the hungering world when there is sufficient food for everybody. Why? Sin. But there is good news. God found a cure for sin. We'll look at that later. So we ask, does the Bible have anything to say about the coronavirus? And the answer is that, yes, it does. Here's what I know. Coronavirus is not the end of mankind. Does the Bible forewarn about the coronavirus? Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Jesus foretold many things just before he was crucified. In Matthew chapter 24, he tells of how things will be before the great tribulation time, which is to come, begins. And in the time in which we are now, the tribulation has not yet begun. The tribulation is what the Bible teachers call the 7-year period of time when God will pour out his wrath on the world. If the coronavirus is big to us, it is nothing compared to the time known as the tribulation. You can get an overview of those 7 years by reading Revelation chapter 6 through 19. But back to what Jesus said in Matthew 24. In my understanding, what I will read for you happens before the tribulation begins. It speaks of our time, where we are right now. We begin in 24:3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, When will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Here's what Jesus said would take place in the time in which we are. There would be wars and rumors of wars. Should man by now not have educated himself out of war? Sure, he should have. But he hasn't, and these words are still true. He said nation would rise against nation, and still it does. That is all true. These words were given 2,000 years ago. Then Jesus said there would be famines. Have you seen the grasshopper invasion in southern Iran and parts of Africa? They're like clouds. When they spray, they say there are a couple inches on the ground of these. This is still true. Should we not have educated ourselves out of famines yet? If you study earthquakes alone, you will find an amazing increase in the last number of years. Yes, these are the beginnings of birth pangs, sorrows. There is more to come. But Jesus said there will be pestilences. What is that? HIV, coronavirus. And you can put all other kinds of deadly maladies right there. This is what Jesus is talking about here. What is happening right now is exactly what Jesus said would happen. It is no surprise, but it is not the end of mankind. Mankind will never end. Now, what of the future? What lies before us? Well, let me tell you first what has led up to the future. I read an article titled The 10 Deadliest Epidemics in History. In AD 165 to 180, the Antonine Plague killed many, many people. In 541 to 542, the Plague of Justinian killed many people. In 1334, the Black Death, 60% of European countries wiped out, and some whole cities wiped out. 1576, Kokolotly, 13% of the world's population died. 1852, 23,000 in Britain alone died. The plague known as the Third Plague, 1856, 10 million deaths. 1918, the Great Flu, 20 to 40 million deaths. Typhus, 3 million in Russia alone. 1957, the Asian flu, 1 to 2 million. 1960, HIV, 25 million deaths, 65 million infections. This is not to mention the recent Ebola, swine flu, and H1N1. If you study these dates of those epidemics, you will note the same thing you will find when you study earthquakes. Killer quakes have increased exponentially. The last 5 of the 10 most fatal diseases have happened in just over the last 100 years. The scientific, the age of medicine. This earth is preparing for something big. So we ask, what of the future? Well, there is no more privileged person in all the world than the Bible believer who believes the Bible for what it says. Here, in brief, is what lies before all of mankind regarding that which will take many, many lives. In the very near future, we believe the Lord will remove Christians from the earth in the great catching up of 1 Thessalonians 4. That will be a great blessing to this world, but it will bring the most catastrophic time this world has ever known. In this time, not millions, billions will die in various ways. We find many of those things that will happen in that time, which is 7 years long in Revelation chapter 6 through 19. If coronavirus is scary, without doubt it will pale in comparison to this time. It is the time of God's wrath. One of the things that causes the present panic is fear of the unknown. What will coronavirus do? How far will it spread? How will it affect the world or my family or me? May our fear of the unknown drive us to the fear of God. May we learn to fear Him enough to flee to Him for salvation from sin, so that we might be freed from our sin. Yes, Jesus foretold of such things as coronavirus in our time. Such things come as no surprise to the true Bible student, but they come as a shock to those who do not know what is coming. Now, let me say this. If we find the coronavirus fearful, it is nothing compared to what is coming yet. In the tribulation time before us, a man will stand up and he will make peace in the world. Isn't that wonderful? Peace in the world. Oh, how mankind will rejoice that somebody has been able to do what nobody else could do up until then. And for a short while, the world will be lulled to sleep by this man. And then he will show his true colors and the tribulation will have begun. This subject is big, but let me give you a very brief look at it from one book, the book of Revelation. Here's a brief overview of this time we know as the tribulation time. It will be a time such as the world has never known. By the way, it could happen. It could start this year. Consider Revelation 6, 7 through 8. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. Well, you might turn to the book of Revelation. You might want to look at these. Revelation 6, 7 and 8. Verse 8 now. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him, and power was given to them over a fourth of the earth, a fourth of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Now for anyone listening that thinks like one man I knew years ago thought, he said, you know what, I worked for this man, he was my boss. Living in sin right now. He said, if the tribulation happens, I will know the Bible is right and I will turn my life around then. Maybe somebody's listening, things like that. I don't have time to explain, but if you think that, read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 very carefully. If I understand this chapter right, those who hear the gospel before the tribulation and do not believe, God will send them strong delusion and they will not believe in the tribulation either. God will send such people very strong delusion and they will believe the Antichrist lie. Now during the tribulation, many things happen that will make the swine flu or H1N1 or the coronavirus look very small. Consider Revelation chapter 8. Seven angels are going to sound their trumpets. Here is the first one in Revelation 8, 6 through 9. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up. All green grass was burnt up. Then the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures that were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Well, you can read the rest of these. There's so much we can't take time for. I have no doubt that when the coronavirus is over, and it will come to pass, it will seem as little compared to that which will yet happen. Let me read chapter 11 now, verses 14 through 19. Chapter 11, the second woe is past. Two woes have gone. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth." Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the Ark of the Covenant was seen in his temple, and there were lightnings and noises and thunderings and earthquake and great hail. That's on earth. According to one passage, some of the hailstones will weigh up to a talent. It's not certain which talent is meant, but they will be between 50 and 100 pounds. It will be hard to escape those. Here we are in a time not comparable to anything that has ever happened yet. Let me show you how fearful it will be for those who are still alive when the tribulation comes to a close. Look at Revelation chapter 6. This is what mankind will be like. It will be, coronavirus will be nothing in comparison. Verse 12, "I looked, when he opened the sixth seal, behold, there was a great earthquake." This is the end of the tribulation. "And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place." Now think about this. Not long ago there was a huge tsunami and an island moved just a little bit. Every island and mountain will be moved. Verse 15, "And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?'" Now, if anyone thinks I am trying to scare them into becoming a Christian, forget it. I'm not trying to scare anybody into anything. If you respond because of fear, when the coronavirus is over, so will your fear be. What I'm telling you is what is yet to come. One needs to face reality whether there is a present threat of danger or not, because we will all die. And those who enter the tribulation will face the worst this world will ever experience. So let me ask, what is the cure for coronavirus? Well, as far as I know, there is no cure at this point. The Israelis think they have a cure, but it may be months before it can be used on humans if it is actually a cure. Here is what I do know. There is a cure for the sin of virus. Here is the biblical truth about sin. It will kill all people except those who are caught up and their bodies have to undergo a change. Then those who do not find or accept the cure while they live will go to hell forever. If ever anything should put the fear in us, that should. But we may fear coronavirus more than that. Oh, that God could get our attention as to how serious life is. But last, there is good news. God found a cure for the sinner virus. And through that cure, he is redeeming a people for himself today. They are the true Christians. And oh, if only I had time to describe just what it is that is in store for the true Christian. And it's for all eternity. It is hard to believe that not all scramble for what the true Christian will experience forever. But we have a huge enemy who blinds our minds so that we do not understand the significance of life. But I must tell you the cure, it is real, it works, it gives peace to the true believer. We have already said that it is what it is that causes us to be lost to God. It is sin. It is fatal. But here's the cure. 2,000 years ago, the second person of the triune God became man. He was born in a barn in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth, and began to preach when he was about 30 years old. Because he lived by the truth and exposed people's sins, the thing we all fight, therefore sinful man, killed him. But before he was killed, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there God gave him a cup to drink. In that cup were all my sins and all yours. And Jesus Christ pled with God for 3 hours if there were not some other way to save man. When the vile fumes of our sins reached him, he could not bring himself to drink the cup. When it was clear there was no other way to save us, he drank the cup. What that means is that he took the responsibility for your sin and mine. And because he now had drunk this cup of sin, he had to die because he had sin within him. Not his own, but ours. But taking the responsibility for our sins does not save us. What Christ did is he made a way for us to be saved. He did not save us to leave us in our sins. He saved us to deliver us from our sins. And the very first thing sinful man must do to make Christ's death count for him is he must repent of his sins. Oh, how we fight true repentance. Millions sit in churches who have never truly repented. They have never even seen how horrible they are. Never mind repented. Repentance means confessing our sins. That means if I have wronged others, I must confess those sins and seek forgiveness. Whatever God brings to our mind, we must clean up. Oh, how we hate this. I know, I hate it too. But it is the only way. If I am living in adultery, I have to leave that relationship. I can't repent without leaving it. If I am a drunkard, I have to quit drinking. I can't go on and say I have repentance. Repentance has to happen. But those who come by this path find true and real peace with God. Then the one who repents, by the way, repentance requires humility like nothing else does. And oh, how we fight this thing. Then the one who repents has to commit his or her life to Christ to live by faith. Living by faith is trusting in the one we cannot see. We cannot see God, but we can learn to trust him through his word. And the new believer must live his entire life by faith. That's what believing means. It doesn't mean believing Jesus was real. It means living by faith for a lifetime. Believing in Jesus is a lifetime commitment. If there is something hard for millennials, more so than many other generations, it is lifetime commitment, or maybe commitment at all. The Lord's salvation is first and foremost from sin. That means if I was a liar, I should lie no more. And if I do, I must go and confess my sin to the one I lied to. I'll tell you what, that's the greatest cure for sin there is. If I am an adulterer, my adultery must be overcome. Today we are told you can be a Christian when you're living in those sins. Not possible. All of this is salvation from sin. The Christian is to gain victory over all sin, big and small. It's a lifetime task. But second, when God saves us, he saves us from the wrath to come. That is the tribulation we spoke of earlier. Let me show you this from the Bible. The Apostle Paul turn to 1 Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul had brought the gospel to the city of Thessalonica. They were heathen and practiced every kind of sin imaginable. And then Paul brought the gospel and told them about the coming tribulation and that the Lord saves believers from the wrath to come, which is what the tribulation is. So verse 9. For they themselves, that is others who had watched the Thessalonians, declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, that is the Thessalonians, and how you turned to God from idols, that is sin, all sin, to serve the living and true God. They were converted and got saved. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. The Thessalonians had gotten saved and were now waiting for Jesus Christ, whom God had raised from the dead, the one who saves believers from the wrath to come. So the true believer is saved from sin here and now. He is saved from the wrath to come, and last, he is saved from hell fire. Now, don't you think everybody should be flying for salvation? When the true believer dies, he immediately goes to heaven. When the unbeliever dies, he immediately goes to hell. Now we are afraid of coronavirus. How is it that we are not afraid of hell? So we conclude. How serious is coronavirus? Let me quote a little more from David Cloud's article. He writes, COVID-19 is the flu. It kills some people, mostly elderly over 70, in poor health and small children, but it is not particularly deadly in the broad scheme of things in this dying world. The vast majority of people who contract it have flu symptoms of varying degrees and go on with their lives. The death rate is 1-2%, that is at this point. The death rate on the Diamond Princess was 1%, all over 70 years of age. And in South Korea, where statistics are candid, the fatality rate is 0.6. William Schaffner, professor of preventative medicine and infectious diseases at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine, warns there's a large epidemic of coronavirus anxiety. Early mortality rates for coronaviruses are likely misleading, ABC News. Then he says, to put this business in right perspective, while a few thousand have died of COVID-19, millions have died of other things. About 3 million people die of all causes in America every year and 56 million worldwide. That's a million. Leading causes of death in America are in the following order: heart disease, cancer, accidents, lower respiratory diseases, stroke, Alzheimer's, and diabetes. Those are the first seven. Number eight is influenza, the flu, and pneumonia. About 39,000 died of the flu last year in America. Worldwide, the annual number of flu deaths is about 200,000. Where are the constantly updated red blotch charts tracking those deaths? In part, it is irresponsible media entities and omnipresent social media that have stirred up the frenzy by focusing 24/7 on fear-mongering. There are warnings that 70% of the world will contract COVID-19. 20% of Americans could die. It is an escaped Chinese bioweapon. He says that these are false. Trump is lying. Quacks and nutcases are in hog heaven. Everyone has become an expert. And he says, as for death, the fact that multitudes are in panic mode from a flu virus with a small fatality rate proves that men are terribly afraid of dying. Isn't it interesting how fearful we are of this virus, but we are not afraid of dying when we don't have any such virus or some calamity? Then we live as though we will live forever, but we see all around us all the time that we may die at any moment from 100 different things. So Cloud writes, and CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, BBC, UPI, Yahoo, Bloomberg, etc. are not giving the most important warning, which is that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. And they are not giving the most important information, which is how to be saved from eternal judgment. If you are not ready to die, you better get ready, because the mortality rate is 100%. According to the world's most authoritative history book, only two men have left this world without dying, and that was Enoch and Elijah, and those were special cases personally superintended by God. That same book tells us the fundamental reason for death, and it is not COVID-19. It is sin, and all are sinners. The good news is that the same book is that the compassionate Creator sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23, end quote. So Scripture says, it is appointed unto men once to die. It's just interesting. When you are young, you just, well, you know you're going to die, but you just don't really know it. It just can't be there. When you get my age, it's looking you in the face a little more. You know it's coming. And so we all die. Nobody escapes it. That means I will die. It means you're going to die too. And whether that is today or tomorrow or 20 years from now, we don't know. Should I not search out what life is all about? A number of times I taught a course called GBI, General Bible Introduction. It covers how the Bible came into being. And here's how I began the first class. Try to think of life for a moment as to how it would be without the Bible. No divine direction in life. No personal relationship with God. As Paul describes us before salvation, having no hope and without God in the world, Ephesians 2:12. That's how it was with the great Greek thinkers in the past. The following is a discussion of Socrates with some of his students regarding immortality. In the course of the conversation, one of them, Simmias, made the following statement. This is what they did all the time. This is what they talked about. This is what he said. I think a man's duty is one of two things. Either to be taught or to find out where truth is. This is in the spiritual realm. Or if he cannot, at least take the best possible human doctrine and the hardest to disprove and to ride on this like a raft over the waters of life and take the risk. Unless he could find a more seaworthy vessel to carry him safely and with less danger, some divine doctrine to bring him through. We have such a divine doctrine. Every thinking person needs to consider what life is all about. One must think and search objectively. One must seek for truth. If one studies the Bible, one will find spiritual truth. Listen, I have read the Quran. It is hard to read. It is nothing in comparison to the Bible. Maybe some person of that faith will listen to this message. I challenge you. Read your book. Maybe you've memorized it. Then read the Bible. Check it out objectively and honestly, and you will find the truth. Whether one dies from coronavirus or anything else, if one is in right relationship with God, when one dies, all will be well forevermore. Blessed is the man who walks not with the ungodly. There's no greater word than that. Maybe some listener is not a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ according to what the Bible teaches. Today is the day to be saved. Tomorrow may be too late.